verse 12 is our single text today. Let's read it together. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Father, help us to come under your word today. This is a profound statement that you made through your Son. And it was the truth. And it was a truth that is to be responded to. Lord, we do not want to be people of darkness, but we want to be amongst those who walk in the light as he is in the light. So Lord, help us to be that people today. And Lord, help us to respond to this invitation to believe in Christ for all he is and was and always will be. We pray for our children as they take their time in junior church with Dawn, that you too, Lord, fill them with a sense of your presence as they come under your word. Help us, Lord, to respond to your word this morning in a way that would be fitting for being called children of God. And for those among us today who may not know you or who are confused, who don't know what Jesus is all about, may today be a means by which people will come to know Christ as the everlasting light. We pray these things with thanksgiving in the name of our Son, your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So with this profound statement, Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world who rescues people. He rescues those who come to him as the light from the life-threatening and soul-destroying forces of darkness. He is the light of the world, and he has come to rescue sinners from the darkness which we find ourselves in. Taken as a whole, I see this sentence as being another statement of identity and purpose of Jesus. It's then followed by a condition to be met by those who are listening to him. And then it is also a promise to be received. So it's a profound statement of his identity and purpose, a condition to be met to that statement, and a overwhelming promise to be received. Jesus makes then a profound statement of identity and purpose, utterly profound. Who but he could stand up in the midst of a great feast and proclaim, I am the light of the world. Not a light, the light. The people around him wouldn't have had much problem acknowledging that Jesus did bring some light and some comfort and some sense to many people. They wouldn't have had any problem with that. Lots of people bring comfort and shed light on things and bring wisdom, don't they? There are a lot of shining lights out there in the world. You may have people in your life or a person who lights up your world. They are just the light of your life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he says that implying that the world needs him as the light because there is a conflicting darkness under which men and women live under and children. So Jesus starts off with this. It's a continuation. It's not, Jesus doesn't say things in a vacuum. He didn't just say things here and there. The text says again, Jesus spoke to them saying, which shows the continuity, we think, from the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also why that text we talked about, it kind of interrupts the flow of what was happening in the Feast of Tabernacles as Jesus was celebrating this feast 6 months before he would be crucified. The Feast of Tabernacles was 6 months before the Passover. And although the people at the feast were trying to, the Pharisees were trying to arrest Christ to kill him and be done with him, his hour had not yet come. Now, Jesus has given numerous statements that affirm his divinity and his purpose, even within the Gospel of John. If you were to read through them, which I hope you've been doing as we've read through, you should note that Jesus says the most amazing things that anyone has ever said. Let me share with you a few of them. If you take your Gospel of John, you can follow with me relatively briskly, but not too fast. So let's start off first with John chapter 1, because John the Baptist says something first about Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist says of Jesus, what? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So that's a statement by someone else about Jesus. And now let's move on in the gospel and just alert ourselves to some of the things that Jesus Christ said to people. Sometimes to many, sometimes to an individual. Chapter 2, verse 19, speaking to the Jews at the temple, he said this, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He was speaking of his own body. He was speaking of his death and resurrection. Chapter 3, verse 3, talking to Nicodemus, one of the rulers of the Jews, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Chapter 4, verse 13, says to the woman at the well who was there to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And later in the same conversation, chapter 4, verse 26, when this woman refers to the Messiah who will be coming to reveal all these things, he says, "I who speak to you am he." In the same chapter, chapter 4, verse 49 to 50, Jesus says to an official who has said to him, "Come before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live," just by the word of his mouth. In chapter 5, verse 8, he says to a man who has been lame for 38 years, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." And the man took up his bed, got up and walked. He got up first, took up his bed and walked. Chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says this to the crowds, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And then today, in this passage, Jesus again spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus made statements like this all the time, and people had to respond to them. No man had ever spoken like him, which is why they couldn't arrest him or lay their hands on him. The prologue of John has prepared us for this theme of light, hasn't it? Go back to the prologue of John, right at the beginning, chapter 1, verse 4. Speaking of this one who was to come, the one who came from God. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. So the prologue has prepared us for it. The gospel itself in chapter 3, verse 19 through 21, has also increased that theme of Christ being the light. Chapter 3, 19, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The Old Testament overflows with the theme of God as being light. In Sunday school this morning, we alluded to the first chapter. And God said in chapter 1, verse 3, what? Let there be light to overcome the darkness. I'll take you on a quick Bible journey, really quick for those of you who love Bible references. Exodus 13, 21 to 22. At the time of the Exodus, what did God provide the people as they wandered? He provided them a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Exodus 31. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. In Psalms 27, verse 1, many of the Psalms speak of this, but here's a typical start of a Psalm, which has become a nice little chorus song. I remember when I first became a Christian, one of the first choruses we learned. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It means something. If the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 119, 105. Another famous little song that most of you have learned back in the earlier days. I know it, but I'm going to read it so I don't butcher. 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 6, verse 23. I'm doing this so you can see the theme of light, the God of light throughout the scripture. Proverbs 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet, 49 and verse 6. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. And also at the end of, towards the end of Isaiah chapter 60, verse 19 and 20. The sun, speaking of the days to come, the sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Now the New Testament continues and expands that theme all the way through the book to the very end. I won't read them, but I'll give you some verses in 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6. You can see that there. Ephesians 5, 6 through 14. Acts 26, 15 through 18. Paul speaking. 1 John 1, 7, which is our scripture reading today. And right at the end of the book, Revelation 21, 22 to 24, just a handful of references to show this overarching theme of God being the God of light. Jesus is saying that he is and always has been and will always be that light. All those things that God has promised in the Old Testament and even new. He says, I am the light of the world. The context of John 8 will help us understand the enormity of what he was saying. We spoke in the previous weeks about the Feast of Tabernacles just ending and being a 7-day feast, perhaps even 8. Jesus has already aligned himself with one of the symbolic rituals that they performed at the feast every year, which was the pouring out of water from the vessels, which was to recall God's provision of water from the rock in their desert wanderings, as well as being the provider of water for their harvest and their crops. It was just a celebration of God's provision. And they remembered in the desert being thirsty. And in that context, Jesus has said, well, if anyone thirsts, come to me and drink. There was a second symbolic gesture or ritual that they performed at the Feast of Tabernacles. They did it in the evening. And they would bring giant torches, flames, and carry them into the temple to the court of the women. They would set them on the stand. And the light was so great it would light up the whole temple and even spread out so it could be seen over all of Jerusalem. And while the light was glowing, it was to remind them of what? Of the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day, that God was their light in those desert wanderings. And it was a reminder of God's his presence with them, a reminder of his protection of them, and also a reminder of his guiding light that he gave to them as they traveled. So in that context, you can see why it fits into the cycle. In that context of this water and then this great light where there's much celebration and singing the songs of praise and scripture, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Could you imagine the passion with which he and the conviction with which he declared this to the people who were worshiping, so that these people were going home from that feast. It wasn't like any other feast. They'd come thinking, we're going to remember God's miraculous provision of the water from the rock and the food and also of the light of the cloud and the fire, as we always do. This time they went home with the thought of Jesus saying, I am. And this is the second of the great I am statements in the Gospel of John, isn't it? He has already said, I am what? The bread of life. Now he says, I am the light of the world. He will go on to say simple things, but profound things that we can relate to. And when we believe in Christ, we have to be able to say, he is all these things to me. So we say, is he my bread of life? Is he the light of the world for me? He says, I am the gate, or I am the door in chapter 10. He'll also say in chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. He will go on to say in chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet what? Shall he live? Then he'll say in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And in John chapter 15, verse 1, he will say, I am the true vine, when he talks about abiding in him. So in this Gospel of John, these I am statements and the themes of light and darkness are there as we read through the Gospel of John, being put down as an open invitation with a strong sense of urgency to what? Believe in Jesus the Christ. Unto what? Eternal life. That is what is on the heart of John, because that was what was on the heart of Christ. He came to save sinners from eternal destruction. From hell. He came to offer heaven, reconciliation with the Father. And he said, the only way is through me. They didn't like what he said. That's why they killed him. 6 months after saying this, he was crucified, and so fulfilling all of the claims he had made. So Jesus has started off this, or continuing his ministry, as he's in the last 6 months of his ministry. The words are as powerful today as they ever were. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. And the focus is not on what are the forms and facets of this light. The focus is on him being that person. And Jesus came as a light to the world to illuminate our understanding of the truth. When Jesus was standing before Pilate, before his false trial, or during that time of trial, Jesus said, I came what? To bear witness to what? The truth. And that's what he did. Pilate says, what is truth? So Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It begs the question for each one of us here today. Simple question. Do you see him as the light of the world? If you do, then Jesus goes on to say, well, there's a condition to be met that will help you see if you truly do see me as the light of the world. What's the condition? You must what? Follow him as a disciple. So following is equal to believing. Remember, the invitation of the Gospel of John is to believe in him. And we've said, but believing isn't just acknowledging facts about him. It's more than believing. It's actually following him. And Jesus makes this condition. Whoever follows me as a disciple, which means this is part of what it means to be a believer unto salvation. Following, I am willing to identify myself closely with him. Our baptismal candidates today will testify by baptism that they are willing and have already done so, identified their life with the light of the world, and they desire to follow him. Right, Callie? Follow him closely. Not like two blocks back. Not following them with the millions of people who follow Jesus from a long way back. We're following that guy up there. Well, can you hear what he's saying? Well, not really. We just let other people tell us what he's saying. And we'll pick and choose what we want to hear. But we're busy doing our own stuff, but we're listening kind of. No, we follow him closely in earshot of him. Not right alongside, lest we get ahead of him, but right there, right close to him. So we're definitely following him. He's the leader, and we're following him. And we're following him with the intent of listening to everything he says. That we don't want to miss anything he says, no matter how hard it is. Why? Because we want to do what he says. We want to follow his way, his word, his will. Why? Because we love him. Because we are grateful to him. Because he has rescued us from the darkness that was threatening our very soul. We follow him out of a desire. We sang that song earlier. It's beautiful. The greatest thing in all my life is what? Knowing you. And the greatest thing in all my life is what? Loving you. And the greatest thing in all my life, put those things together, is serving you. I want to know you more. I want to love you more. I want to serve you more. Why? Because it's the greatest thing in all my life. There is nothing greater. And if you let that sentiment of that song, just if you think about it and ask, is there anything greater than that? A believer will say, no. Absolute nothing comes close. Amen? So Jesus issues a condition to be met. Willing to closely identify following him will by necessity mean we are willing to live a sacrificial type of life. Which means we will be willing to take up what? Our cross. Whatever cross Christ causes us to bear, which is basically dying to ourself and taking up our cross upon him, which is a symbol of death. And live for him, whatever it means. That's what it means to follow him as the light of the world. And the invitation is to everybody, isn't it? Whoever follows me, being willing to listen, to hear, and to heed his word. So we have the tremendous statement. We have this condition to be met. And then Jesus, to complete this sentence, issues, it's kind of like a two-sided promise to those who meet his condition. And the first part is kind of like a negative, positive thing. And the second is pure positive. He says the first side of this promise is, will not walk in darkness. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. It's impossible to do, it is possible to do two things at once, right? Some of you are very clever and can do eight things at once. But you can't do both these things at once. You can't follow Jesus the way that he wants you to follow him and walk in darkness at the same time, right? They pulls apart. It's like my black and white outfit. They're different. Jesus wants us to know that you, as you follow him the way he is calling us to follow him, we cannot remain in darkness. Before we came to the light, that's all we knew, wasn't it? But what we didn't know, it was dark. I've spoken to a lot of you before over the years, and that's the truth. Before you came to the light of Christ, you knew things weren't quite right, but you didn't know you were in absolute darkness. Why? Because you could see. You thought you could see clearly. But now you've come to know that you couldn't see at all. In fact, you were blind. It was a different seeing. It was seeing with darkened eyes towards the gospel of Christ. We sang the song just now, I once was lost, what, in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that promised hope and life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. But as I ran my hell-bound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my what? Helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. Forgot the rest. Go ahead. For the wrath reserved for me. That you bore the wrath reserved for me. And all I know is grace. Thank you. All I have is Christ. Before we came to the light of Christ, we could do nothing else but walk in darkness. That is what the text that Rich read in 1 John chapter 1 was implying. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. See, what Jesus says, when he says we will not walk in the light, it alerts us to our tendency to stray from the light, doesn't it? Isn't that the most annoying thing about being a Christian? You're in the light, and yet you know full well that we have a tendency to stray from the light and walk in darkness again. And it makes no sense, does it? And we know we're walking in darkness, and the light's over here. We can't do both at the same time. And we can almost pretend as if we're walking in the light. And we know full well that we're not. But it looks as if we're walking in the light. Jesus offers in that situation what? Quick restoration. If we confess our sins, he is what? He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? So that we can continue walking with him in the light again. And notice, we don't just walk in the light with him. In 1 John at least, he invites us to walk what? With one another in fellowship. Do you see that? We have fellowship with one another. So we are not called to follow Jesus as lone soldiers, but with like-minded, humbled Christians who walk in the light as he is in the light, and we do so together. So the statement, I am the light of the world, the condition, whoever follows me, first side of the promise, will not walk in a settled state of darkness. That would imply if we walk in a settled state of darkness that we're not in the light at all, perhaps. But our settled state is we walk in the light of Christ and his word. Which leads us to the second promise on the positive side. But that person who responds to Christ being the light of the world, who follows Christ, who will not walk in darkness, but instead will what? Have the light of life. In the beginning of the prologue, John set this up. He said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light. I am the resurrection and the life. They're all interconnected, aren't they? We will have him not only in our life, but as our life. All I have is Christ. If you were to examine the number of songs that we sing, where we allude and identify Christ being not just the light, but our light in our life, and how he has rescued us from darkness, it's staggering. One that came to my mind earlier was, and can it be? Long my imprisoned spirit lay in the dungeon. I can't remember that one now. Jason, you got it? Fast bound. In sin and nature's night. My eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke. The dungeon flamed in light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. It's this sense of this burden, this darkness in the dungeon, in the depths of the dungeon of darkness, for your alliteration. That's where we were, bound by sin. And when Christ, the light of the world, opens us up to the truth, the shackles fall off. The gates fly open. And we're what? Free to do what? I rose, went forth, and what? Followed thee. Didn't follow a certain way of living. Didn't clean up my act. Didn't say I'm just going to change my life and start anew. No, I followed thee. And when we follow thee, all those things will take care of themselves. Because we'll be walking in the light. And we won't just be saying, I've got to stop that particular sin. I've just got to stop it. And not do that anymore. Well, maybe if we're struggling with that, the focus is on the wrong thing. In our flesh, we're just trying to stop sinning. But we're not trying to follow Christ. We're getting caught up in behavior modification. And not caught up in Christ. The Word of God resounds with a clear call to live up to what we are as children of light. I'll just give you a few scriptures and read a few in the New Testament. Because Jesus says in Matthew 5:14, he actually said to the listeners, you are what? The light of the world. Here he says, I am the light of the world. But he says to those who believe, you are the light of the world. Look, in Matthew 5:14, I'll give you a handful of scriptures and we'll move on into our baptisms, which really follow exactly what we're saying. Because this is what these girls are saying today. They're saying they've come to know that Christ is the light of their world. Chapter 5 of Matthew 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Ephesians 5, verse 6 and following. Ephesians 5, 6 to 14. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will what? Shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most use of the time, because the days are evil. Philippians 2, just two more. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as what? Lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that on the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And then lastly, the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, as he testified in Acts 26, verse 15 to 18, before Agrippa. He says this, speaking of his dramatic conversion on the road to Damascus. Verse 15, he says, and I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things to which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Strong testimony of Paul before the king, speaking of Christ's light to rescue people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to come to the power of God, to receive forgiveness of sins and a place among the sanctified by faith. It's a tremendous statement of declaration by Jesus, isn't it? I am the light of the world. Period. A condition. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness any longer, so to speak, but instead will have the light of life so that they may walk in it. Most of us here today have confessed that faith in Christ. And yet we know that it is a daily, moment by moment, spiritual battle to keep walking in the light as he is in the light. Baptisms are a wonderful opportunity for new believers or people who have been believers for a while to decide to obey Christ and be baptized. It's also a reminder of those of us who have been baptized. I was with John Houlette earlier this week, and he spoke about, it was July the 1st, and I hadn't thought of that, but July the 1st, 1984 was my baptism right here 29 years ago. Yeah, 29 years ago. And I remember sitting right here testifying of my brand new faith in Christ when I was a mere lad of 24. I remember what I said. I'm not going to say it, but I do remember what I said, mostly to the congregation. Didn't know much at all. But I knew that I had been taken out of darkness into the light of Christ. And I wanted to follow him, whatever that meant, not knowing what that would actually mean, really. But as far as I knew, that early stage in my walk, Pastor Cruz told me that's what people do. They get baptized. He taught me what it meant. I wouldn't have thought of it by myself, I don't think.